I know Max Holloway thinks he has the best boxing, but I got 2 wins over the kid. Nothing but respect to him. I'm a big fan, but I beat him twice, and I felt like I was boxing pretty well with Conor. He hit me with some good counter twos. We knew his timing on the counter two was some of the best in the game, but I just don't give a man. I'm here to win.
Ooh, baby, he paid the cost, and now he is the boss.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back to the second episode of the Neon Belly Podcast. We are your hosts, Nate.
John.
Brandon.
That's right. We're bringing you all the news going on this week in the world of mixed martial arts. We're going to be talking a little Neil Magny, Michael Chiesa, obviously UFC 257 that happened last night. And we're just going to jump into it. Boys, what's up?
Kind of recovering. It was a very great card off top. There wasn't no fight where it's just sometimes you watch UFC cards and you're like, "Duh, I could have gone without paying for this."
Yeah.
And then you watch the free ones and you're like, "I would have paid for this." But this one was definitely a very, very good card.
Yep. Anything else going on this week? Anything interesting happening? Anybody's lives they want to share?
Oh, I think we're going to try to do some axe throwing this next coming weekend.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's going to be...
Brandon, you want to go?
Yeah, down.
We're putting you on the spot.
Go axe throwing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to ask you after this, but we'll just ask you now.
I'll say possibly.
Okay.
Just based on how...
I mean, that's a no, but jiu-jitsu
session
it.
Went last week, I'll go ahead and... Based on how the jiu-jitsu session went last week, I'll go ahead and say maybe.
Okay, that's fair. We'll ask again after, when there's no pressure.
Yeah.
But no, one thing I do want to bring up is for anybody that might be listening that is also into the Marvel stuff is WandaVision, because I was behind, but I watched it this week, and probably one of my favorite things, I'll say early on through, I've only seen this first two. I didn't get to watch that third episode last night. I wanted to watch it today before the pod, but... Oh, my Manchester United Red Devils just beat Liverpool 3-2 going through the next round of the FA Cup. So that was a little bit more important today. Glory, glory, Man United. But I'm definitely going to be watching it today. But as far as the first two episodes, all I can say is I'm pretty pumped.
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys, without giving too many spoilers, you guys said the third episode, I think you were saying, like, it kind of needs to get going. Or...
Well, yeah, I think the third episode, it's starting to get going, but yeah.
Well, it gives you that feeling of, like, okay, you would think from how they end out, like, all right, it's about to get real.
Yeah.
Things are about to jump up. It's not going to be so sitcom-y as much. It's going to be like, all right, action's coming.
And I kind of, so, like, that was kind of where I was at, like, after the second episode, because I loved that sitcom, like, that old classic, but I was kind of, like, thinking, too, like, I don't know how much of this I can watch, though.
Yeah.
But it was so different that it did, like, kind of pull you. Like, I think it's a great way to start.
It's
but
a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Before you.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you with superhero stuff, you're used to, like, action sequence, crazy storylines from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, you're used to that kind of faster pace.
They definitely had their... You know, Marvel has their way of doing things, and they do a good job of kind of mixing it up. But I think this show is really kind of shown their range.
Yeah, I think it gets you ready, because I think they needed to do something like that for the things that they're talking about for, like, Doctor Strange and stuff like that. They're really going to push you away from what you're used to. So this is kind of like a good little first step.
Yeah, well, and not even just for Marvel. Like, I know I was saying, I think I was telling you guys, I mean, The Mandalorian... Just Disney right now in general, The Mandalorian was amazing, especially the second season. And then they got, like, same thing. They've got a lot of stuff on deck coming up that I'm really excited for. So, yeah, I'm really, really pumped for that. Excited to get into WandaVision. I was going to ask you, I actually need a book reference. So anybody that's listening, I think the last book I read was, like, at the end of the year, I finished that Say Nothing book, and I'm like, I've been dry ever since.
Well,
are you reading anything?
I am reading.
That's not going to go way over my head.
So one book. So have you seen Social Dilemma on Netflix?
No, we talked about it, but I haven't seen it.
So one of the guys that's interviewed on that episode or on that show, he wrote a book called 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Right
Now. Oh, God. We're not going to get into that.
But it's only 100 pages, so, like, it's a quick read. So if you're just wanting something real quick to bide your time.
Bonus episode is going to be me and Brandon arguing about social media.
I actually, I know you're, well, it's one of those things where it's like, I know that you kind of like history and kind of more nonfiction, but I'm reading this book called The Alchemist.
Okay.
And it's by Michael Scott, and it's like a series. So there's it's kind of fantasy. It is fantasy. It's about like magic and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. there's like multiple books. Cause I wanted after I got through that, there's a show called Magicians that I really liked. And after I got through it, I was like, I wonder if there's like it was based off of a book or something.
Yeah.
So I got to look in and I was like, well, this seems cool. And but I've liked it, but you kind of have to be into that kind of science fiction,
right?
Type of stuff.
Well, boys, I don't really have anything else. I say maybe we just go ahead and jump right into this. Before we do get into all of our recaps of everything happening this week, we do want to again ask everybody that's listening. We are now live on Apple Podcasts. If you can give us 5 stars, subscribe, obviously, if you aren't, and just leave us a review. It really, really, really goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
In allowing us to grow and continue to do that, to continue to do this, I mean. And if you do leave us a review, we will definitely shout you out, which brings me to my next little thing. Mm-hmm. Is before we were on Apple Podcasts, we had to do this first episode for like a couple of days on Podbean exclusive, and we did get a comment from somebody, and that is our boy, D-Ray Boy.
Let's go.
D-Ray said, I love the vibe, sounds natural, and I'm down for the journey.
That's all you can ask.
D-Ray, we appreciate that, man. And awesome. Anybody listening, D-Ray is a phenomenal, phenomenal Russian clogger locally here in Kokomo.
Yeah.
You can get on Instagram and check out some of his clogging videos. He does a little bit of a... He plays a little... what's that? That stand-up? That's a stand-up bass, too? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
The
cello?
Cello, maybe.
Cello.
Yeah. Yeah. Phenomenal, phenomenal.
World renowned. I mean.
Definitely in Kokomo.
I seen him a couple times live and.
Yeah.
It's
can't beat the live performance.
No.
No. No.
I took an aunt of mine. She's a little bit older, but she cried.
Yeah. Because he's that good.
Yeah. I mean, you've never heard somebody talk with their feet before, but
yeah.
He's the one.
Yeah. He doesn't even look you in the eyes. It's crazy.
Appreciate you, man.
So thanks, D-Ray. We love you, man. But yeah, if you are listening. Wherever you're listening, drop us a comment, review, subscribe.
Google Podcast too.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't have the
yeah.
the Apple phone, I got the Google Podcast. I listen to it in the car. It's great.
Yep.
Do that too.
Absolutely. So we are going to jump into this. We're going to start out first. Before we get into 257, we do want to stop for a minute. There was a card midweek, UFC Fight Night, Magny Chiesa. I'll be honest. I'm kind of shocked.
Yeah.
It was obviously our world-renowned grappling expert, Brandon.
See, I don't want to say I told you so, but pretty sure that was...
I'm not surprised, mother... No.
Why don't you take us down this road?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to turn over to Brandon. Brandon, take us down to your assessment of Michael... What's his fight name?
The Maverick.
The Maverick. Mm-hmm. Chiesa, Chiesa, Essa.
I think it was pretty much just a straightforward Michael Chiesa fight. He went in there and out-grappled Neil Magny. That was the game plan. That's what he's been doing his past 4 fights at 170. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when he runs into the Colby Covington, though, because that's his game plan.
Yeah. I loved the call-out of Colby, sorry. I loved that call-out of Colby at the end, and it kind of would interest me a little bit, but I think I did see this week that Dana said they are working on Masvidal mm-hmm. Colby for the summer, and I think I'd kind of obviously rather see that.
Yeah.
But I give it to Chiesa. I did rewatch the fight and I did write down some things like just to kind of help myself remember because it was like a midweek thing. But yeah, I agree. Just super dominant. I remember feeling. Like right from the opening bell, I just feel like Magny, he was doing a really good job of keeping Chiesa on the outside, which I felt like he needed to do, but he wasn't doing a good job of getting into range and getting inside. He was just kind of like in and out, very lateral. And I thought at times was a little bit too eager to push the grappling, especially on the mm-hmm. cage, where I feel like he would have like some really, he really needs to work some takedowns off the cage. I feel like he would get in some good positions, but just really kind of lacked that finishing IQ maybe. Mm. And then Chiesa was able to kind of use that and turn it into his own offense. Some great scrambles from both guys.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, even though Chiesa kind of, I would say, dominated the grappling department, I definitely felt like Magny kind of held his own down there, obviously, and was able to fight some stuff off. Yeah.
What
do you think?
I think it goes to what I said with it is, you know, Magny's somebody you have to take the fight from. He's not going to just lay down and take punches or anything like that. He's going to keep pushing. And I felt like, you know, Magny is one of those guys where he's able to put on really great performances, or he gives you these head scratchers where it's like, what happened to the guy who won, you know, all these fights in a row or fought really good against tougher guys? But yeah. I mean, that's just kind of part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I felt like too, he did a good job. Chiesa did of like, even though he was kind of fighting from the outside, he was doing a good job of like kind of tagging Magny up and getting Magny going backwards and then kind of like grabbing a leg or kind of, you know, going for like a quick takedown. Is that something?
Yeah, I don't know. I still wasn't very, I don't know, I guess this is going to be pretty critical, but I didn't think his stand-up was as impressive as what I expected based on how much he had talked about
Magny?
Chiesa's,
okay.
Yeah, is that who we're talking about?
So
what I was saying was I felt like Chiesa, even though he was fighting on the outside, I felt like Magny kind of always controlled the center. As I was saying, is I feel like Chiesa did a good job of kind of coming in and getting Magny to then move backwards, and then he was using it to kind of turn it into takedowns or, you know, initiating a grappling exchange.
Yeah, because most of the grappling was on the fence, right?
Yeah. So,
quick question, though.
Go ahead.
How many of these fighters do you think are, like, sick and tired of Fight Island? Like traveling all that way, long flight,
yeah.
Having to do all your, you know, quarantining. I mean, obviously it's a great hotel and stuff that they're in, but you've seen all these fighters complain about it with the car sounds and the just being stuck to a room in a workout room. Like how many, like not to say that this fight goes differently in America. I mean, you can't really say.
I know what you're saying.
Happen, but how many you think are just tired of this?
It's interesting because I think there's two sides where you could say, one side is like, guys that have been there multiple times, well, you would have an advantage, but, and not to kind of jump ahead a little bit or bury the lead, but then you go to a guy like Dan Hooker who, you know, like we were kind of talking about is you've been there multiple times, but you're spending so much time then away, from the, you know, your family and different things. So you go into it knowing like, oh, this is about to be like a 2-month thing where I'm going to be in this lockdown. So I could see it.
I mean, I know Dana loves it, but I could imagine because there's a big difference between, oh man, I gotta fly 4 hours to California for my fight,
right?
Compared to I gotta fly to Abu Dhabi, then I have to quarantine once I get there. I had to quarantine before I go, quarantine once I get there. You know, time difference.
It'd be an interesting question to ask, just because I understand that headache of how much goes into that travel and that whole aspect. But at the same time, we were talking about a time period where there was no other sports. Nobody else had a job, and these guys were sort of fortunate enough to have a boss who was willing to sort of stick his head out there and give it a shot and make it what it is. So I don't know. I can see both sides.
I could too, but that is a good question. Like you said, I think it'd be just an interesting one to ask, I haven't really heard anybody ask that, you know, as far as the toll that it, you know, it could kind of take, but it is an interesting outlook. But as far as, so from here, you know, assuming Colby and Masvidal are going to do the dang thing this summer, what's a guy, who could you see for Chiesa? Like, I was kind of like, I don't know if he's quite to the level yet where you do like a Wonder Boy, who also is coming off a really impressive win.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of like your classic striker grappler. That was just kind of one that kind of came to my mind immediately after, but I was like, I don't know if I really see Wonderboy wanting that fight though.
Yeah. I want to say they talked, one of them went back and forth with that. Or I think Chiesa may have mentioned Wonderboy in his, post-fight interview, but I almost wonder how Chiesa Woodley would look. Just because Woodley's coming off those losses.
Yeah. And we'll get to that in the news. It looks like Woodley might already have a fight.
Yeah.
In March. Yeah.
Has Chiesa fought Damian Maia?
No.
Damian Maia's right above him in the rankings.
Damian has he want to do one more fight?
I'm not 100% sure on.
Well, and real quick, and you kind of hit on it a little bit earlier with Chiesa is, like, it is kind of, he's in a weird thing, but he does have, is it 3 or 4 wins now in welterweight, right? 4?
Yeah, I think 4.
So he's beat RDA, Magny, Diego Sanchez,
Condit.
And Condit. Condit just looked really, I mean, we kind of talked about that last week. Condit is kind of in that weird place, but I mean, him and Sanchez, you could be like, aging, you know, veterans, but still good names to have on your resume when you're trying to make a case to move up the division. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, RDA is never an easy fight for anybody. We know that. And then obviously, which even though I think RDA is better at 155 than 170, that fight did happen at 170. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Magny. So I do kind of think Chiesa might be primed for, I mean, maybe you do just give him somebody like a Wonder Boy, or
I think Wonder Boy is the only one who doesn't have a fight.
Yeah. So
if he wants to stay active, there's that. And then, like I said, you have Damian Maia right ahead of him.
Yeah.
Which you could get the whole grappler.
Yeah.
Brandon would love that.
Oh, yeah. And then for Magny, you know, you could do, maybe you do like a Condit. I said do. Maybe you do like a Condit. Or, like you said last week, a potential for Connick could be like a Jeff Neal, but that's one I could even see for Magny. No, they didn't fight. So, we'll keep you guys posted, obviously, like, with all these fights coming up. We're going to keep an eye out for it. But, boys, before we move on, anything else with the Magny-Chiesa fight that you want to hit on before we go to UFC 257?
Yeah. The only thing I'll say about it, and it's one of those things where you get spoiled, you know, as somebody who's been watching it for so long. So to be like, to complain about this isn't a real big deal, but noon on a Wednesday is tough.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to maybe watch it at work.
Yeah, I had to watch it at work.
Maybe you're on a break or something.
Yeah.
I get the time difference. So like Europe and some of these other countries, they get better time slots now because usually they have to wake up early to watch it.
Right.
So it's kind of like a third world country thing or first world problem, whatever.
Yeah.
But that was definitely tough.
Yeah.
I didn't get good signal. A lot of times it frees up. I'm sitting here trying to move to a better spot.
Cutting out on you.
Yeah.
So we were recording this on Sunday, the day after last night was UFC 257, once again in Fight Island. I did see that I think they did up the attendance. I think they said it was like 2,600. It was a little bit more than 2,000 attending. Okay. Performance of the night bonuses went to Rodriguez, which... shout out to her. What an amazing underdog victory. Meridov, Chandler, and Poirier, all four of them winning $50,000. Interesting no fight of the night.
Was there a good back and forth, though? Seemed like just really good performances
I did
by
watch,
the people named.
I did watch most of the prelim. I'm trying to think, man. Not really. I mean, it was...
And I felt like it was, like, similar for the... Not the Chiesa card, but the one before that.
McMahon Pinion looked pretty...
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, you're right.
I think when you get so many really good fights, even some good back and forth don't kind of feel like all but fight of the night on this card.
Right. So we're just going to jump right into it, though. Like I say, we just go straight into the main event. Obviously, if you're listening and you don't know, now you know. Poirier defeats McGregor by knockout at 232 in round two. And just shocks the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was believers, but, I mean, where, I don't know, we were going nuts. We obviously all watched this together, and it was, as a Conor fan, it was dark days. But just really excited to see that from Dustin, though, too. Mm-hmm. Brandon, I'll let you go ahead and just, what was your overall assessment of the performance that we saw last night?
I don't know. It's hard to make this concise, I guess. I don't know. He went in there, and I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was the takedown in round one, because I thought that was going to be the game plan, was he's going to go out there and just wrestle him.
Mm-hmm. Were you impressed that Connor was able to get up? Like, I thought did a really good job in terms of, like, I mean, obviously it's not a Khabib-level takedown, or it's like having somebody like a Khabib on top, but... Connor did a really good job, I thought, getting back up. Yes. What do you think?
So, no, I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but I wasn't impressed. But just because I think I have so much respect for Connor's wrestling. I think he's much better in the wrestling department than what he usually gets credit for. So that, to me, was, I can see that. But the biggest thing for me was the calf kicks from Dustin. That was the thing that I didn't see that coming at all. And that was clearly a game changer in the whole fight.
Yeah. I agree. I follow this guy on Instagram who's like a Muay Thai guy, and he kind of basically, based off the fight and some of the recent UFC fights, he kind of broke down how the calf kick is a thing that kind of started in Muay Thai, but it doesn't land a lot because they have like a straightforward, your toes are forward or out. But with MMA, you're kind of, your toes are in, so you're exposing that outside meat, and it's so much harder to check. But yeah, I think that, and he, I remember Poirier had said that Mike Brown was kind of adamant, like, I want you to go after that calf kick.
Yeah,
and
it was something they were kind of working on. So my overall, like, kind of like the next day, I'll be honest. So like last night, there was, at first it was like the, oh man, that's awesome, good for Dustin. And then after you guys left and I was alone in my bed,
hello darkness,
yeah, it got a little dark. No, I was just kind of sitting there and I was just like, man, like, once it all, the adrenaline of the fight kind of wore off, I was like, ah, man, this kind of hurts a little. But kind of running back through the fight in my head, I feel like there's some good things moving forward for Connor to grow off of. And I thought he looked okay. Obviously, Dustin said in his post-fight, he definitely, one of those left hands, he said, for sure, put the light, like, he saw like a flash, and he even admitted if Connor would have just pressured a little bit more right there, he would have been in some trouble. And I think he definitely stung Connor, or Connor definitely stung Poirier a couple times, and did, and I thought looked pretty good on the feet. I felt like it was a little bit one-dimensional from Connor, where it was just kind of, it became, but I think it was because of the leg, especially in the second round. But I felt like Connor did win the first round, ultimately, even with the takedown, because Poirier wasn't really able to do much with it, and I thought Connor did a little bit more damage. And then, obviously, from my perspective, just think Dustin did a great job then coming out that next round, and he had already kind of started the leg kicks, and just did a really good job right from the beginning of just starting to really dig at him. And my thing from Connor was, you know, he said it's just something he's never worked or never seen, whatever. It was like he was, you know, he was trying to catch him, which, you know, at that point, the contact's already been made, you know, and he tried to catch him. And then he was almost trying to check him a little bit too, I thought, by kind of like trying to turn that knee out. And kind of put his shin into it, which he did kind of say that in the post fight that he just wasn't able to really get the full shin, or I think maybe Dustin said that. One of them Dustin had kind of talked about that, but so as far as the calf kicks, you know, it's something where, is it something, because he's, you know, Connor saying is like, ah, I've just never really seen these things before, but like we all know Connor watches MMA. And you have to account for every aspect. And I know there's people out there that I've heard that are, you know, we should ban the calf kick. And I am not in that party at all. No. I think it's a part of the sport. And you've just got to learn how to defend them if you're Conor McGregor. And I think he will. I think, you know, like we have a guy that we do jiu-jitsu with, Kyle. And we always have a joke with Kyle is you can do something once to Kyle. And then it's really hard to do it again because once you know, you do
he's
it,
gonna work
he's
it.
Gonna figure it out. And I think that's what makes somebody great at what they do. And anybody listening that knows Kyle knows how good Kyle is at jiu-jitsu. And I think for Connor, let's see. Like, it's a new element. I could even see him adding it to his arsenal, not even on a defensive standpoint.
He threw a couple in the fight. He threw a couple in the fight, too. He threw a couple at Dustin. But I think, because like he'd said in his post-fight presser, Connor did, that he'd never experienced him. So I wonder how much of it was he just had seen him before. And he thought, well, you know, it's probably not that bad. Like, it's just one of those things you're going to have to tough it out, because he said he tried toughing it out. Yeah. But I think it's just much more impactful than what people realize once they get hit, once they get hit by it.
Yeah.
I think it kind of took him by surprise.
Yeah, I feel like, for me on the fight, I felt like at first Connor looked really strong, and Dustin kind of looked like he was kind of trying to hold on through the first round. Like, okay. Cause I know it. Khabib had said, like, he felt like, I mean, Dana said Khabib told him that if he felt like he got to, like, the first and a half round, half into the second, you know, Dustin's kind of in a better spot to win. But he looked a little kind of, he was in the fight, but he just kind of looked like, man, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this. He said by the second kick he knew it was hurting him, but you probably didn't see as much from his movement until you got into the second round. But I think, you know, you've seen the left hand, you seen like that uppercut in the second round. Once he landed that uppercut, I thought it was going to be really rough for Dustin from there. But he settled in, kept on ending every single combo with that calf kick. And Dustin had said, like, you know, he tried to check him, but he just couldn't get that because it's just a whole different angle. But to touch on the whole him not, you know, not ever experiencing it before, and he definitely, you know, you're a pro. But MMA, there's so much stuff you got to worry about. You know, you got to worry about all these different things with his boxing, angles, wrestling, you know, dirty boxing in the clinch. Like, the calf kick is still relatively new as far as, like, it being, like, somebody's, like, main point of attacking you. So it's probably just kind of like how Anderson with that front kick or, you know, like that oblique kick. There's certain things that you kind of have to see X amount of times before it's like, all right, now everybody has to work it because everybody's going to start doing it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I listened to Luke Thomas's reaction on Morning Combat, and one of the things he talked about was, so it's, in my opinion, it's almost like the blueprint to beat Connor, but the he's only lost two rounds, he's only lost two first rounds in the UFC, and it's to Chad Mendes and Khabib, who are both huge wrestlers.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you can get out there and you can get through that first round with Connor and sort of wear him down, so to speak, you have a much better shot of succeeding.
Well, that's kind of there now, right? I mean, that's what Dustin did.
That's why I bring that up, because Dustin shot in that first round, held him down for, it wasn't too long, but it was still part of the game plan in that first round was take him down.
Well, he kind of grinded on him. You know, they both kind of had their moments on the fence where they both kind of had control, I guess you could say, of the situation, obviously both landing shoulder strikes and different things like that. I just think from the fight standpoint, I mean, all credit to Dustin, just coming in and just sticking to his game plan, whether that was the game plan or not, or they adjusted. I mean, like you said, I know Mike Brown said that it was something that, or that they were really coming into it, which that doesn't surprise me. I mean, take his legs out, right?
Well, especially with his stance like that.
Yeah.
You know,
he does have a really, it is funny because his stance does not, like, it's just going to be so interesting to see the next evolution, because I really think this could be one of those fights for Connor where it's like, you have to evolve now. Like, we have to see that next evolution, and it's going to be really interesting to see what that is from Connor, because, you know, he's always got that, like, really wide kind of karate, or not really karate, but striking stance, and it's like, you just kind of are leaving your leg out there.
I would like to see him go to more like a Wonder Boy, kind of bouncy, more up on your feet, but still bladed like that.
He does that sometimes when but I feel like he kind of only does that when he kicks. Like, last night, he threw, like, one wheel kick.
Yeah.
And he kind of started doing that. But, dude, I just think the damage was kind of just, because obviously once the ending flurry, it was just, I think Connor was there in his head enough. Like, Dustin caught him a couple times, but if you kind of, like, go back and watch it, just that leg was just done. I mean, he just couldn't get out of the way.
You know, I feel like with Connor, based on, I mean, because you have to be a certain level of something to do something to him.
Right.
You know, you can't be an avid wrestler, like, just kind of like, oh, I kind of wrestle once a month at the class or whatever. You have to be somebody who puts time into it to wrestle him, because he does have good grappling. And as a striker, you have to be, you know, a good, good boxer to really affect him. Because as much as you've noticed, like, first round wrestlers give him problems, volume punchers do too. Because Diaz was able to, you know, he gets hit 3-4 times and he still looks good. By 7-8, he looks wary, and then he can't take those. Then that punch starts getting to him. And I think that's what, you know, obviously Poirier was able to pour on and land multiple punches. But I think, you know, I would like to see, like, a Connor fight like a Gaethje too, because of the same reasons for Poirier. It's like, you know, leg kicks, you can wrestle, and you throw really good volume punches.
They're both coming off losses now.
Actually, I did see it interesting, somebody saying Connor and Ferguson.
Interesting.
Both coming off of losses.
Well, so on that, I do want to kind of get everybody's takes on what we think could be next for both of those guys. Obviously, Dustin's post-fight press conference made it very, very clear that he wants nothing to do, not in like he's afraid, but just has no interest, I'll say, in fighting Chandler. He said no matter, he really said he has no interest in anybody. He said the only thing that would interest him is the Connor rematch Diaz. Nate.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is then Connor said all that interests him is a rematch with Poirier or Diaz. And obviously we know Diaz will probably fight either of them. So those three are kind of in this weird love triangle thing right now. But he did say, essentially in a roundabout way, outside of those three, he feels like Oliveira would be the one that he would probably get him up the most to fight, because he's never had that shot. So what do you guys think? I mean, is that personally, my opinion is you have to do Chandler Poirier. He literally said, like, out of every option, I just won't fight. You beat mm-hmm. it, which I didn't really understand his logic. So he's like, you beat a guy that I beat. And it's like, well, Dustin, he kind of beat the guy that you beat in Hooker more impressively than you did. Yeah. I mean, Hooker had Dustin in some trouble, and we won't get into their fight yet, because we're going to move on to Hooker Chandler in a mm-hmm. minute. But it's kind of like, well, but he put Hooker away a lot quicker too. And we know styles make matchups mm-hmm. and things like that. But I'll say, I just personally feel like you got to do Chandler Poirier next. And I think even Dana kind of said that in his scrum. But what do you think, Brandon?
No, yeah, I completely agree with that. I think Poirier Chandler is the next fight to make, just because of their performances. And I think if Habib really is done, which I think we all pretty much think he is, that's, you got to figure something out with the title. And they seem like the two top guys. It really surprised me when Dustin said that about not wanting to fight him, because I sort of see Dustin as the guy who's always down for a scrap, no matter who it is, he'll fight anybody. But it was sort of interesting how he just wanted nothing to do with Chandler, because he hasn't done enough in his eyes, mm-hmm. which, I don't know, it just kind of took me back.
Well, I guess what I would say is, he, as much as he is the all fight, he's also the I climbed from the bottom, put in all my time, earned this. I do think that's the fight that does happen, because Dustin wants the belt so bad. You know, he said gold is his most, you know, he wants to have that unified, yeah. you know, they're the undisputed title. Yeah. And there's, I would argue that Oliveira has just as much as a good claim as Chandler, as far as the people that he's beat.
Yeah.
To get, I mean, nobody's done Tony Ferguson how he did.
You could call him Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson too. I know, that's who. But so I think he has just as good of a claim. And when it comes to Chandler, I'm, it's a very, very good win. But like I said, when you do have Oliveira there, it's tough, because he's put in more work than almost anybody,
right?
As far as just like revamping himself mm-hmm. and
yeah.
adding tools. So, I mean, I guess also it was kind of weird hearing Dana say that, you know, he didn't shut the window on pushing Khabib about the belt, because he said these two just fought and they're not going to fight for a while because they just fought.
Well, yeah, but he did say, like, in a weird way.
He did like he's the
gonna,
yeah.
Well, he said he's going to ask him one more time. And
yeah.
he basically said if Khabib says no or doesn't, he's just going to move on. Like, it's kind of his last chance to mm-hmm. to make a decision. But Dana White even admitted that it doesn't look good for Khabib. And I think we all agree with that.
He even said that it's really just me that's pushing for him to
yeah.
say
yeah.
it's not easy.
Right.
Which is nice, because he kind of tried to keep it alive differently. But like I said, I feel like if he's not, because obviously we know with Khabib, like, you only have a certain window for him, and, you know, you want to keep things moving. But it was just kind of interesting that he didn't close the door as far as like pushing the title away. And then he said that these guys won't fight for a while, which one guy probably took a little bit more damage than the other when you talk about Poirier and Chandler. I mean, you could do that quicker, but
and on that, man, like, so I've had a couple concussions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
CTE is something that you know, I've definitely paid attention to. Dustin makes me nervous, man. I don't know if you guys saw, but like, after in his post fight presser, he was like wiping his eyes and he kept saying like, "Geez, this is like CTE Island." And they kind of picked it up on the mic. He kind of just threw it out there. And, like, one thing with concussions is, you know, like, I've had them, is mm-hmm. you are, like, real sensitive to light. And if you watch mm-hmm. it the whole time, Dustin's kind of, like, you can see his eyes are watering. And he kind of is rubbing his head a couple times. And, man, Dustin just signed, like, a new 7-8 fight contract, I think, mm-hmm. something like that. And I just, I want to selfishly Dustin keep going, but obviously with like stuff like the Spencer Fisher now and mm-hmm. things that we're seeing long term, it does kind of worry me for a guy like Dustin.
Does it seem like he wants 7-8 fights though?
Yeah, he had said in the presser, he was like, this wasn't fun.
But in that Theo Vaughn interview, he was like, yeah, we're gonna do these 7-8. We'll see what's next. Like, he's like, which is so weird. The whole like, oh, I don't even like doing this anymore. Which he said he felt flat in the warm ups, and he's like, I just don't get excited the way I used to and stuff. But I'm like,
that could be Fight Island too.
Could be a little bit of
drama. Not having the crowd as much, you know, not having, you know, familiar media, you know, seeing the same people. And but also, it sounded like he said, like, you know, I'm in my last couple prime years. I want to get the belt before I call it done. That doesn't sound like 7-8 fights. That sounds like I want the belt within a fight or two, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
he said, I think one of his big things he said too, like I still have quite a few more ass whoopings to hand out. I think it was a quote from him. And it makes you wonder how much of it is just kind of mixed emotions going into it. Because he was sort of all over the place with what he wanted. Yeah.
Well, and we've also learned that with Dana, you know, he's going to feed what's going to feed him as far as like get him opportunity. So if you tell him, I only want to get the belt and I'm done, compared to, oh, yeah, dude, I'll fight 7-8 more fights for you.
Yeah. So just to kind of wrap this fight up, I do real quick with Connor. Same thing, same questions that we're all going to have is what is next for him? Whatever I think was there for a Pacquiao fight, I hope is done. I'd rather see Connor completely focus on MMA, become a better mixed martial artist, every aspect of it. We've talked about it, you know, just learning new skill sets and genuinely trying to evolve and grow with this sport that is always evolving and growing. But I think Connor, I mean, Dustin has set himself up really for two guys, Chandler or Oliveira. Connor has the whole division. I mean, you could do Ferguson. We know Diaz has a fight supposedly in the works for the summer, although I think it's weird they never announced it because I kind of halfway wonder if they were waiting to see what happened here. So that could set up, you know, we know the UFC, they'll change any plans if they feel like there's money to be made. So we could see Diaz Connor in the summer. You've got
RDA.
You've got now Hooker. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I'll just kind of real quickly, I'll start with Brandon. What do you think, if you're Connor, and not just who do you think or who would you want, what would be a good fight for Connor to take next?
I think a good fight for him would be Diaz because they need to do that fight. I think that's a good fight for Connor.
Kind of just close out the trilogy.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because, you know, Diaz is coming back to 55, so he's not really in the rankings. So we don't
time
have to
off.
Worry, we don't have to worry too much about that. But at the same time, what do you, because I spent literally 2 or 3 hours last night thinking about all this, like, where do they all go? Like, and there's so many different options. So I think I would rather see him fight maybe either a Ferguson or a Hooker, but I can see Diaz as well in there.
What do you think?
I like Hooker and Ferguson. I will throw my wild card out there. I would love to see him and Paul Felder fight in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be fun.
I mean, because Felder's sitting there at 8. Mm-hmm. Connor was 4. Obviously, he drops a little bit. And that's, I mean, I know they have, like, they've had, like, a little bit of a back and forth a little bit.
I'm kind of leaning more Brandon. I like the trilogy fight. I say we just go ahead and close out this trilogy. It's been talked about ever since the last fight. Let's close it out. It's two guys, you know, Connor's obviously got one fight now back in, but he's coming off a layoff. Diaz is coming off a layoff, and whoever wins, like, it's putting you right back in there, and you can kind of go on from there.
I just want, if that happens, I want it to be a 55, not a 70.
Oh, 100%.
Because like you said, I want to see Connor focus in on 55 and want him to really own in on what he's doing and see what happens.
Because I think that's when he's his best, right? Like, when he was going on the 45 run, I mean, he would mention going up, but there was just that focus, which obviously hundreds of millions of dollars will kind of take that away, but he was all in on that division, you know, and then until he got the belt is when he started with the whole stuck in the mud division. You know, he kind of waited until he did get that belt to then start talking about 55 on a more regular. So that's it for that fight. Let's move on to the co-main event. Michael Chandler, Dan Hooker, welcome to the UFC.
Yeah.
Michael Iron Chandler, wins, knockout, TKO knockout victory over Dan Hooker in the first round at 2:30 in the first round. Mm-hmm. I was pretty blown away. I mean, just came right out and just got straight in Hooker's face and made Hooker all types of uncomfortable, I felt like, and ended up getting the early knockout. What did you think, Brandon?
It definitely caught me off guard. He did exactly what I thought he was going to have a lot of trouble doing, which was kind of getting inside and cracking Hooker, because I knew he could really crack him if he could touch him, but I didn't think he was going to be able to touch him that easy. And he didn't shoot at all. I was expecting much more of a wrestling-heavy fight, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't think there would be a lot of wrestling early, because you kind of want to be a little bit more slippery. You kind of want to have, like, because you know how they say with takedowns, you know, after your first one, the percentage drops, like your energy percentage. And, you know, after you stuff the first one, the next one isn't going to come quite as good and stuff like that. So sometimes I could have seen that. I did started seeing the weird kind of hesitancy with Hooker. And then Chandler started landing that right to the body. and really leaning into it. And that's like a, you know, when you talk about finding distance, that's your range finder. If I can hit you here, the follow-up's there. And then he eventually hit to that right to the body and then came up with that left hook. And that was.
Yeah. And I mean, do you guys think that, cause like, I mean, we talked about it last night, but like, I really did feel like Hooker was completely thrown off. I mean, he Chandler literally just fired out right from the opening bell, got in his face. I feel like Hooker noticeably was uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of see Hooker starting to think a lot. And I think Chandler picked up on that quick too. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I've got him on his bike here, and it was ultimately obviously able to put him away. But just as far as Hooker, no way that was what they thought that was going to be, right?
No.
Did Hooker put out any statement or anything like that?
I haven't seen anything.
All I've seen about him throwing his gloves in the ring, I know a couple people ask.
Oh, Chandler, I didn't even see that.
A couple people asked Chandler, I guess on his way out, he threw his gloves in the ring. I don't know if that's like a, I don't think that's obviously a retiring thing. But maybe it's just frustration.
Yeah, I think.
Because, you know, for him, he trained so far away from everything. He's had, you know, we talked about how he's not going to be able to see his family till like March.
Yeah.
So I could imagine the frustration of, you know, I do all this and, you know,
for
I caught
2 minutes
one
on, and 30 seconds.
Caught one on the chin and went out. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was more like a TKO in comparison to like the Conor fight, but it's just, you got clipped really good and now you're out of there, but now you got to just sit in a hotel room and think about it for months.
Yeah, I was really curious to see what his reaction was going to be and what he was going to say about it, but, you know, he didn't have a presser and I haven't seen anything. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what his thoughts are on it, on what went down.
Right. Well, and, you know, coming from the team that he does, and not to say that they put pressure on each other, but they obviously all expect to win. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like everybody, I guess, does. But I think the way that Chandler was able to get inside and close, I mean, because I think from like right from the beginning, I think Brandon, you were the one that was like, wow, like the size difference was pretty noticeable. Mm-hmm. And Chandler was just bullied his way to the inside. And I mean, he was, like you said, was going to the body. And
well, I think another thing that kind of changed things is, I don't know if you guys remember when Aldo and Frankie first fought. Every time Aldo would throw a leg kick, Frankie would end up reaching down, grabbing it. And Aldo didn't want to have to deal with those wrestling scrambles, so he kind of let it go.
Yeah.
And if you remember in the 2 minutes and 30 seconds that happened, Hooker was trying to get off like calf kicks and low kicks. And Chandler was either moving out the way or he was grabbing at them and was like trying to lift his leg to go for a takedown. And you seen Hooker kind of stay away from that. Then he's backpedaling and then you see what happens.
Yeah. And so I think we've kind of talked about enough about, you know, Chandler, what's next. We would assume it's going to be for the title or an Oliveira or something like that. But, Hooker, I mean, we won't spend much time because I don't think he's going to lose much here in this division. I mean, it's if you go through the 155-pound division, it's the top 10 are really all contenders. I mean, they could all fight each other for all we care. Mm-hmm. But anything else with this fight that you guys want to hit on real quick?
Good for Chandler, man.
Yeah, way to come in. I saw one thing some people were saying is, like, what do you guys think, like, best –
I have that in my notes.
Best debut for what was the, like, how did, I'm trying to think of how they set it up, but
here's the
I'll say like best Bellator to UFC debut, because like some people said the best UFC debut was Silva Lieben.
Well, I have three on the list for my best UFC debuts: Chandler, Silva, and then when, because JDS's first fight was Fabricio and he uppercutted him and knocked him out.
I don't know.
I mean, that was his first fight.
Oh, okay, you're saying, I thought you were
so
asking.
That's like, and obviously at that point, Fabricio was in Pride and stuff like that. But, I mean, but Silva and Lieben was impressive, but Lieben wasn't Rich Franklin or something at the time, or like somebody who was right up there.
Right. What so do you think, one of the best UFC debuts? Or?
I don't know. Yeah, I just definitely up there. I don't know why Askren's not up there, but... I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, I thought you were being I wish we had a camera so I could see the like, face that I just gave Brandon. Because
even like Aldo.
I was like, okay, this grappling thing is going way too far.
Even with like Aldo, that Mark Hominick fight was tough for him. 5 rounds in Canada.
Yeah.
It got late and Hominick was able to use some wrestling.
Yeah.
Pettis was a tough one when he first came in.
Yeah.
Obviously, which, speaking on the Askren thing real quick, how much do you think Dana like regrets doing that trade with Demetrius now?
Ooh.
Seeing that Ben only lasted Robbie Lawler. And
well, what's funny about that is, regardless of how Dana feels, what kind of shocks me is how content and happy Mighty Mouse is. Like, he flat out said, ONE FC is where he will retire. He'll never fight another organization. There's no zero shot of him coming back to the UFC. But if I'm Dana, there's got to be, because I mean, could you imagine Mighty Mouse versus like Figueiredo right now? I mean,
that would be the one.
Yeah, than me. There's some interesting matchups now,
especially at that division.
But yeah. Money talks, man. I imagine he's living a really, really great life.
Oh God, yeah. Doesn't he get like Xbox money? Like he's sponsored by Xbox, and he does Twitch, and
yeah, he streams all the time.
And you're in a country, you know, fighting where they want to keep big stars. That's the people that come out to see him. Yeah. I mean, you see like how much Rampage love fighting in different places like that. Like when you become like polarizing like that.
And the other issue, like he had the issue with not being marketed. He thought he was never marketed the way he should have been with the UFC. And if you look at any of the stuff that ONE has done with him, they have just catered to him completely in terms of his gaming and all that stuff. Like they've just really done a good job with marketing.
Even his posters, like the ONE FC, like Mighty Mouse posters are always like, every time I see him, I'm like, geez, those are freaking,
I know they're,
fire.
They were probably excited to get rid of Askren anyways, just cause it's like, you're not getting exciting fights from him.
But he was just running through people too.
So you're just like running through, grappling everybody, you know, winning, but not, I mean, outside of Brandon, not many people are paying to just see grappling over and over every fight.
Not many. Yeah, not many.
So moving on, I think you guys are good. I don't have anything else for that fight. Good. We'll move on. Shout out to Michael Chandler, man. Just awesome fight, awesome performance.
Good dude.
Yeah, great dude. I mean, if you've never looked into his story, like adopting his son and stuff like that, him and his wife, check that out, because just two awesome people. Good dude. Moving down the card, Joanne Calderwood does defeat Jessica Eye by decision. We all kind of predicted this last week. I think John said submission, but still had Joanne winning. Real quick, I mean, not much to get into here. I thought it started out really slow, but I felt like by the second round, Calderwood was really starting to mix it up and hit an eye with, you know, she was getting to the body with knees. And really, I think from the second round on, it was a pretty dominant performance. It looks like one judge, looking at the scores now, one judge gave Jessica Eye a round, which that's weird to me. Yeah. I guess maybe you could have gave her the first. But so you guys think Joanne Calderwood, title, Shevchenko. I don't think last night was enough for me to say for the next fight, I think.
I
didn't see enough.
More people she has. I think she's running. I think
she might have to fight her.
Yeah, I think Valentina's running into that Amanda Nunes where it's just like.
Well, I don't want to see her fight anybody but Amanda next for the 135. I mean, yeah.
Shit, you don't, Valentina?
Yeah. What's left? Like I said, you're gonna give her Calderwood? I mean,
no.
And that's no disrespect to Joanne Calderwood, who put on a good performance, but
I mean, they might. What are they doing with Amanda?
I don't know.
She's fighting Meg Anderson.
Oh, that's right.
But see, I've been hearing for a while, like for probably the past couple weeks, that there's a lot of chatter around UFC that they might do away with the women's 145 division.
Jeez.
Especially if Amanda walks away or
well that, and you got anybody who could be like this is interesting. They're starting out other organizations. By the time they get here, Amanda just might be out of air anyways.
It's just hard to find contenders too.
Yeah, I think their divisions are all spread so thin that actually kind of makes some sense to sort of try to condense it as much as they can.
Well, I think the goal is, in 145 pound women, I think are harder to find. And, I think the goal is to close that division and start the atom weight, which is like 115, I think, is kind of what Dana was kind of like hinting at now. But yeah, good fight for Joanne.
What about Valentina going down?
Ooh, I don't know if she can. I mean, she's 125. She's fought at 135 before that. I don't know.
Wait, who's got the 35 belt?
Amanda. Amanda's 35 and 45.
Oh, okay. So who's got the 25? Isn't it?
Valentina.
Okay, then what's... Okay.
Zhang Weili.
Zhang Weili. That's the fight I was thinking
about. Yeah, I
think maybe Weili goes up.
Yeah, I think Weili would have to come up for sure.
That'd be a fight I'd be into.
Yeah.
Just because the level
I'd watch
of striking and power.
Yeah, I think I feel like I heard something like I don't think Weili is in good terms with the UFC. Maybe I'm off. Sorry, I don't want to speak out. I might be speaking out of turn.
Dana, in that interview I watched, was pretty confident they were going to do a Weili fight in China. That was going to happen.
Which would be just massive. That makes all the sense in the world.
I don't know about their relationship, but he's got plans.
Yeah.
Then moving down the rest of the main card, Andrew Sanchez. Sorry, pulling that up. Loses to that Mirav, who got the other performance of the night.
He looked pretty good, man.
Yeah,
strong.
Knocked him out in round three. the Rodriguez-Ribas fight, Rodriguez came in. She was a huge underdog, I think like a plus 800. Ribas was a negative minus 1300 favorite. So shout out to Rodriguez there getting it done. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool with a kind of a weird stoppage.
Almost stopping.
Yeah, well, and she even said at the end, she's like, I feel like I got two knockouts tonight. I mean,
Herb was a little...
That was like really uncharacteristic for Herb, I felt like. Because, I mean, that fight was clearly over the first time he stepped in.
It looks like he was just about to make contact and step in, and he looked at her face and maybe just felt like, oh, dang, she's still up.
Well, on the replay, she does, to her defense, she kind of grabbed... Ribas grabs Rodriguez's leg. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he saw that and thought, like, okay, she's trying to get up to a leg or something, but kind of uncharacteristic for her. But luckily it was stopped right after that. Mm-hmm. And then kind of just moving down through the prelims, Brad Tavares wins. Khalil Roundtree loses. We had heard that he might be retiring. I don't know if we've heard anything about that. But the one real quick, I'm not going to spend any time on it, but shout out to Juliana Pena, who beat Sarah McMahon. That one kind of shocked me because I felt like Pena is so grappling heavy, and I felt like I gave McMahon the advantage there, and Pena comes in and submits her in round three. So shout out to Juliana Pena. Anything else, boys, with UFC 257?
Nope. Not necessarily on 257, but just real quick, I seen a list of Poirier's, like, what he's done in the past 4 years. He's beat Connor, Dan Hooker, Holloway twice, Gaethje, Eddie Alvarez twice, Pettis, and his only loss has been Khabib.
Paid the cost to be the boss.
4 years. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. He's a freak. That's what I said. I mean, Conor fan, but shout out to Dustin. What a just an awesome dude, and really happy for him. So that's going to wrap up our recap of UFC 257. We are going to shoot to Brandon.
Boom.
If you guys remember, we're doing our picks challenge. Brandon, give us a scoreboard update.
All right, so first fight was Chiesa Magny that we're tracking.
Right? Yes, that was our first
3 pick. Points possible.
Okay, yeah, so real quick, the scoring system is how we're going to do it is for every fight, you get a point if you pick the fighter, the round, and the method. So there's every fight, there's an option for 3 points. So if you say, like, Chiesa wins, but he wins by submission, and you said decision, you would get a point for saying Chiesa. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Did I explain that pretty well?
Yeah.
I think people get it.
Okay. So, Chiesa, I was the only smart one who chose the grappler, and he ended up winning by decision as well, so I had 3 points there. So then the next fight that I have on here was Joanna and Calderwood, which all three of us picked, so we all got 3 points there. Yeah. So then with Chandler Hooker, we were all wrong because we all chose Hooker.
Yeah,
that hurts.
Is there a womp womp one? I was like,
no, it's this one.
No, that's our we were all duds on that one.
And then Dustin Connor. So John, you're the only one with a point.
Yeah.
And shout out to John last night on FanDuel, who bet Dustin by TKO.
Second round
for, what was the odds on that?
Plus 3,200. Yeah. Or +3,200. $2 to win 64.
Yeah, so he only put $2, but he won 64. So that gets a nice little.
Yeah.
So then totaled, I'm leading. It was 6 points. Nate has 3 points, and John has 4.
There it is.
Comeback's coming.
Comeback season in the works. So through 2 cards, that's our score. We're going to move on to some news. John, take us away with the news.
We got some pretty cool stuff. We got some weird news just to go back to 257 real quick. Ottman gets a cut. And
you have to say his last name.
Azatar. Azatar?
We'll go with it.
Yeah, sure. If not, I mean, he's not in the UFC anymore. So
you really think we were going to dance around you not saying his last name?
Cut from... listen, that's going to be my move until forever. He gets cut. Weirdly, just kind of gives a dude a bracelet. He sneaks in. Caught shimmying between balconies. Has a weird bag with who knows what in it. I'm guessing it's going to probably be like the Infinity Gauntlet to kind of help him.
The Infinity Gauntlet that you stick in a needle inside your butthole. Yeah, no clue on that one.
Dude was 13-0 with 10 knockouts. I know that somebody had asked Dana if he's going to, like, press charges against him, and he said, you know, getting your fight pulled and getting cut was kind of bad. As far as the guy who was shimmying balconies, he said that the government has his name, so.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, like, on a Conor card. I mean, what a opportunity miss.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's just bad. Moving on from that, well, I did see, real quick, did you guys see Dana talking about the level, like the numbers that the pay-per-view did? They said top three
top
all time.
Two or three, yeah.
Good for them. I mean, there's not a lot going on right now, but still, good for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, Conor effect, but for everybody else on the card, it's probably good for them to get that exposure. Yeah. We got some crazy news of the UFC on ABC pulling lower ratings than the last Fox card, which there was the playoff game of the Rams and Packers. You have people still using the app, so hopefully they either just do ABC and not on the app, or, you know, I don't know how they're going to do that, but when you have stuff going opposite ways, numbers aren't going to look the same.
Right.
We got some fight announcements, which is pretty great. Stipe and Francis are confirmed for 260 March 27th with Volk and Ortega. That's just going to be...
Like Volk and Ortega are the...
Yeah, the co-main. That's going to be a crazy card. Both of those fights are, you know, not necessarily... I mean, there's good points for each one, but it's definitely going to be competitive. And then you have on that same card, they're working Woodley and Vicente
Luque.
Good fight. Especially for Luque. Hopefully, if he can pull that off, he can get some good...
Oh, yeah. I love Vicente Luque.
I like him. He's just one of those, like, dudes that just... Yeah. He's not really marketable, per se. He doesn't talk a lot.
I've liked just him since he was on that Ultimate Fighter, ATT versus Black Zillions, mm-hmm. and just always been a huge fan of his.
Also, we got Usman and Burns coming up February 13th for UFC 258. That's the big, you know... I know Brandon's got a big grappler boner for that.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
They're going to be hugging a lot. You got Ryan Hall might finally get a fight. I know Brandon's.
Oh yeah,
once again.
No, I love Ryan Hall. I was when I saw him potentially finally having an opponent, I got pretty excited for that. And I will say, Kenny Florian pretty much confirmed that fight on his podcast because he is Ryan Hall's one of his coaches.
Oh, nice. He's fighting. I just watched the video. I don't remember. I think it's Dan Ige. Mm-hmm. Ige, yay!
I'm kind of disappointed that you guys don't know who Dan Ige is.
I mean, I don't. It's just not my guy.
You know what you know.
Is this like, really?
Who's the best guy he's fought?
Oh, dude, I'd have to. I don't. You guys, I'll be honest. You guys are better at fights than me.
I'm kind of disappointed you don't know who the best guy he fought is.
As far as remembering fights, I don't.
Like
I wouldn't even.
Did he fight like Rob Font or something?
Yeah, I think he knocked him out.
I do remember that, now that you say that.
Dude, Dan Ige throws freaking bombs. These guys didn't even know his name.
I mean, Ryan Hall just a weird...
Brandon anomaly. Was saying it in French. I don't even...
Yeah, just... I don't know. He's... I mean, it's
He just lost to Calvin Kattar, but he's beat Edson Barbosa.
I do remember that fight. I kind of feel like Edson won that fight. I don't remember. But he's kind of like Vicente, though, where it's like you don't really know about him because he's not like this... popular guy on social media. He's not calling people out as much, whatever.
Okay, I forgot it's a popularity contest.
I mean, ask Dana. I mean, how many, this guy's next never happened.
Yeah.
Then you got another Brandon Boner, Kazmet.
Hamzat.
The wolf.
John is never pronouncing names.
I'm always doing
it. Can you say his last name?
It's Kazmet, for sure.
Say his last name.
Chimenev. Until you beat somebody good, I don't have to pronounce your name right.
Guys, we swear John watches every pay-per-view main card.
He's fighting Leon Edwards March 13th, so if he beats Leon Edwards, I'll learn how to say his name. Until
I'm going to do the rest of the podcast on the ground.
Step up. I mean, come on. We also have some other cool fights coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
We got anybody who's a fan of Tai Tuivasa. He's got a fight coming up.
I love Ty.
In March, you got...
I wonder if he's going to come back to AKA or if he's going to stay over there.
Yeah.
I think he was at Tiger Muay Thai for a while, too.
This is going to be UFC Fight Night on March 20th. Hopefully, it's in the States so we get better times. But
wait, the Tuivasa?
Mm-hmm.
There's more... that card might be decent because I think I've seen some of those other fights you said are going to be...
Then you got Surreal Game versus Rosenstruck. Gane.
Surreal Gane.
Rosenstruck, that's fight night March 13th.
That could be a banger.
That means we got a fight night March 13th and March 20th. So that's 2 weeks of free fights.
Nice.
Shout out to that.
I'll take it.
One we haven't talked about yet, Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Rebooked for February 20th. Doesn't say what card that is. I'm not sure.
Man, what is it? What day did you say?
Oh, it's a fight night.
Yeah.
February 20th.
Yeah. Which, I think that's another pretty decent card.
I'm a big Derek Lewis fan. Definitely hope he knocks Curtis Blaydes out. Not a big...
Doubt it.
You don't think? I kind of don't think so. Like, early prediction, I'm kind of going Blaydes.
Yeah, he's gonna do what he
and
does.
And I love Derek Lewis. I will be rooting for Derek Lewis.
I mean, here's the thing. Derek Lewis...
You never count the guy out. You can't. Weird.
This dude will be in the fifth round, dead tired, just release a right hand, release the Kraken. Next thing you know, you're out. Derek Brunson and Kevin Holland on that March 20th card, too.
Fire.
So both of those fights are crazy. Definitely see Holland kind of finishing Brunson out. Brunson's just kind of like a, I could have been really good in Bellator dude, guy for
I,
me.
I hope. I hope he
Brunson
wins.
Just beat Edmund. Right, he beat that
Tabazian or Tabarian, whatever. You say.
Yeah. So and he looked pretty good in that fight.
With the yellow hair, though.
The young dude, the dude that was training with Ronda. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Brunson has said that yellow hair Brunson cannot be compared to old Brunson. That's when they said when they talk about Izzy beating him. So.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, but that's the news. That's the fights we got going, and
that's our news roundup. Well, we're at an hour, so we're done here.
Boom.
Once again, guys, if you are listening, please subscribe, rate. Leave us a review. Tell your friends. If you know somebody, if you know us, even if you don't want to listen to this ever again in your life, just do it.
Yeah.
Subscribe. Leave us 5 stars and just keep going. You never have to listen to this again. We're going to keep, hopefully the levels are better this week. I was going to say that at the top in case people didn't make it, but we know we're kind of learning this new soundboard that we got and we'll get better. We'll figure it out.
Well,
so we really turned everybody up. So watch it be too loud this
week. Well, and the people that don't know, Brandon's only 5'2". Your voice can only get so loud.
So when you can't hear Brandon, it's,
Genetics. There's not much you can do about it.
It's definitely genetics. But yeah, so that's going to be it for us, guys. We're going to be out of here. We'll be back next week doing a preview for the Overeem. Who's he fighting?
Volkov.
Yeah, Volkov fight. We're going to try to maybe get an interview, too. We're going to try to get somebody that we know in here that we think you might like to know.
Yeah.
But until then, keep it trill. Peace.